In our study of the Gospel according to Matthew, we are looking at what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say concerning discipline, for this was a lesson which he had taught his disciples in one of those quiet places to which they departed from the multitude, that they might learn the things that they needed to know for their conduct of the church during his absence. And of course, the lessons, as we have pointed out to you, that they learned are lessons which we need to learn. For some days, we have been thinking with you about a lesson in discipline, as it is found in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We said that the discipline, the restoration of an erring brother, was the responsibility of each individual believer. And we looked with you at the procedure that was to be followed in the restoration of the erring brother. And we're not going to take time today to go back over that procedure because time gets away from us so very rapidly, it seems. Today, we want to think with you about the power for the discipline about which we speak. We have mentioned to you how easily this discipline can be exercised in the flesh. And we have described for you the havoc that it wrecks, brings about in wrecking the church, because the discipline so often is done in the flesh instead of in the spirit. It is done oftentimes by powerless human beings when it ought to be done in the God-given power to the individuals who bear the responsibility. So as we continue our thinking today, may I say to you that the discipline that is to be exercised by the believer, if it is exercised in the flesh, is absolutely worthless. But if it is exercised in the power that God has ordained, now notice what I'm saying to you, if it is exercised in the power that God has ordained, it will be effective. And what power is that God has ordained? Well, it's described here in Matthew chapter 18. Let us notice the paragraph which begins with the 18th verse. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What a marvelous passage of Scripture. The power for the discipline of which we speak is presented right here in these verses. And I want to summarize them for you, calling your attention first of all to what I refer to as the determinate counsel of God. All discipline should be exercised in the light of the determinate counsel of God. Now, this term, determinate counsel, is not a phrase that is familiar to all of you. So I would suggest that you turn with me at the moment, if you're able to, or at least listen closely as we read shortly from the passage, Acts chapter 2. Notice how the phrase is used there. I think it is wise to use scriptural terms when we can. I appreciate the effort that is being made to make the Bible understandable by the man on the street. But sometimes, I've said this before, I say it again, sometimes I think we lose something by making such a strenuous effort. Sometimes we just need to learn the meaning of scriptural terms and use them, because the Spirit of God has chosen them, and they cannot be improved on. So I say, we need to learn this phrase, the determinate counsel of God. In the second chapter of the Acts, Peter was preaching the sermon on the day of Pentecost, and he told the men of Israel that they were guilty of crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And he continued in verse 23, him, that is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and have slain. Notice now, and they crucified the Lord of glory. But it was according to the plan of God. They could have had no power if God had not already decreed things because of his sovereign will. They could not have crucified the Lord of glory had it not been in God's plan that his son would die for the sins of the world. The determinate counsel of God simply means that God decrees things beforehand because of his sovereign power, because of his sovereign will. You and I would have no power in witnessing for Christ. You and I would have no power in the ministry of restoration if it were not for the determinate counsel of God. Now back to Matthew chapter 18. As I point out to you the reason I summarize this portion in the words determinate counsel. Matthew 18:18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You will recall, this is the very same message which was given here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, verse 9, to the Apostle Peter. Can you think back a few lessons to when we considered that? Now, people say that the Apostle Peter, as head of the church, has power to loose and bind. That's the reason why that some folk think the leader of a great segment of Christendom has the right to indulge, has the right to annul, has the right to change things according to his thought or according to the dogma of the church, as the case may be. This passage of Scripture is often used as a reference to that. But you see here in this 18th chapter that that power that was given to Peter in chapter 16, which we looked at together, is given to all believers. In Matthew chapter 16, it was singular. Here it is plural. But the grammatical manner in which this text is written in Matthew chapter 16 is repeated here. You will recall that we pointed out to you in detail when we were studying Matthew chapter 16 that the verse should read in the light of the grammatical context this way. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. You see an illustration of the determinate counsel of God. God has already bound and loosed you and I through the ministry of restoration. Simply exercise that which God has done. No individual has any unusual authority. He is simply putting into motion what has already been decreed in heaven. So, when you begin the ministry of discipline and restoration, keep in mind that the determinate counsel of God is operated. Now, how do you put that determinate counsel of God into effect? We've summarized it from verse 19 by the words, unite in prayer. This is the prayer promise that is precious to a great many individuals. We use it often in our ministry. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And it's right that individuals should use this as a prayer promise related to a great many things. But actually, its initial interpretation refers to the matter of discipline. Here is a sinning brother. You followed the procedure up to this point. You've taken it to the church. What does the church do? The church treats the individual as a publican and a sinner. One phase of treating him as a publican and a sinner is to recognize that God has a will for that individual, and the church unites in prayer according to the will of God that the individual will be restored to fellowship. I wonder today How many dear children are lost? Not so far as their soul's salvation is concerned, that's settled, but are lost as far as a life that is concerned because the church does not exercise the discipline that we're talking about today. How miserably we have failed in prayer for the wandering sheep. You do recognize that, don't you? Now, may I suggest to you that the power of discipline resides in one other thing, and that is brought to our attention in verse 20, "For where two or three more are gathered together in my name, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Well, this doesn't sound like a business meeting where the majority rules, does it? Doesn't sound like the chairman has taken charge and the people have voted, does it? Two or three people gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ has the promise, "I am with you." This is true, regardless of where the two or three are gathered together in the name of Christ. What a wonderful promise. Christ is always present. Christ being present is making the discipline that is exercised official. I say to you today, if you are exercising discipline without a consciousness of the presence of Christ, then you are in error. Do you remember when we first began our discussion, we said to you that the whole purpose of discipline was to gain the brother? And do you remember that we said to you, on the basis of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, that if you do gain your brother, it will be because you go to him in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted? Well, that's the end of the story on the lesson of discipline, on the lesson of restoration. But I close with a question for you, and that is this. How long has it been since you have engaged in the ministry of restoration? How long has it been since you've been concerned about the wayfaring brother?